Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Our yoga instructor challenged us to find inner peace. I found it faster than anyone. After 4 seconds, I stood up and screamed,
I found nirvana! I win!
They asked me to leave. I guess they don't respect winning. Bet365 does, though. New customers get $365 in bonus bets just for betting $10. Namaste, losers. Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In-app only.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's Varel Coast to Coast.
All right, Pharrell, back on Coast to Coast. We go to the MGM National Harbor every Thursday to hook up with the mad scientist Warren Sharp from sharpfootballanalysis.com, our lead analyst on Sports Grid and a regular on Coast to Coast, badass Warren Sharp. Hey, Warren, I know last week you had all your colleagues and fans and friends at the sportsbook there at the MGM, a big surly crowd. They were all cheering you on. Unfortunately, I wasn't there for that, but thank God you're here again today with the normal crowd there starting to pile in to the book and lounge at the National Harbor as we get ready for the divisional semis. We got a lot to do here today. Why don't we start out with the Jacksonville-Kansas City game, and we'll break it down on both sides of the ball the way only you can do. Good to see you, buddy.
Good to see you, too. They actually made everybody leave last week. A little bit too raucous, a little bit couldn't hear me enough, so decided to let them take a break this week. But this game is obviously a rematch from a game that they played earlier. And if we start when the Jacksonville Jaguars have the football, there's a couple keys here. The first key for me in this game, Scott, is how often are the Chiefs going to utilize this too high shell defense? Because Trevor Lawrence is the number one quarterback in the NFL down the stretch against man coverage. But he is significantly worse when he deals with too high shell. And the Kansas City Chiefs utilize the fourth highest rate of too high shell defense in the NFL. And he struggled against it the last time that they utilized it. What's ironic is the too high shell, Scott, if you remember, this is what gave the Chiefs problems over the last couple of years. Defenses started to adjust to this playing more too high shell. And as a result, Kansas City started off with a little bit of struggles there, trying to get their receivers the football. They couldn't go down the field quite as often. That's, I think, what now the Kansas City Chiefs can utilize to slow down Trevor Lawrence. So it's an interesting what goes around, comes around type deal on that front. And then the second element that I think could be an interesting one is how much pressure can this pass rush of the Kansas City Chiefs, which ranks fourth best in the NFL down the stretch, affect Trevor Lawrence? Because when Trevor Lawrence is pressured, his splits, he is more sensitive to pressure than most quarterbacks in the NFL. If you look at what he did last week in that wild card round, most of his interceptions came when he was being pressured. If you look at what he did in that wild card round, he significantly struggled from an accuracy perspective, from a completion rate perspective, when he was being pressured. In addition, in that Week 10 meeting that these teams had earlier this year, Trevor Lawrence was substantially worse when he was pressured. No surprise at all. He is worse than most quarterbacks when he is pressured. So to me, it really boils down to, can the too high shell slow this offense down a little bit? And can the Kansas City Chiefs get more pressure on Lawrence than they are accustomed to receiving?
You know, we saw this guy go out and throw all these interceptions. I've never seen anything like it. And then on top of that, he still won the game. I mean, it was absolute insanity watching that game in Jacksonville. I don't think I've ever seen a quarterback in my life throw four picks in a playoff game and win. I don't think I've ever seen a team turn a ball over five times or whatever it was in a playoff game and actually win the game. if this guy goes into Arrowhead and throws, in my opinion, so much as two, they're going to lose the game. We welcome all of our radio affiliates, Sirius Channel 159, Sports Byline USA. Do you think that all that pressure and that shell coverage is going to force him into more of these mistakes? Because that first half, he looked awful last week.
Well, no, the pressure absolutely would. When you look at that wild card game, when he was pressured, he averaged 1.7 yards per attempt versus 7.2 when kept clean. When he was pressured, he had 22% completion rate versus 68% when he was kept clean. I mean, it's night and day difference. So the pressure absolutely affects him a lot more substantially. Then you also have this element of the crowd noise too, which Trevor Lawrence went on record in saying that, well, the crowd was loud at home in Jacksonville last week, so I think it can't be that much louder than that. We're used to it. They're going to be, every single round that we advance, we're going to be dealing with more and more crowd noise. I don't know that he's aware of how loud this stadium is actually going to be. I can tell you that audio clip is being played on a loop for the Kansas City Chiefs fans as they enter this stadium to try to get them to be even more loud. Now, the good news for Trevor Lawrence is that Doug Peterson is his coach. Doug Peterson's the one calling plays for him. Doug Peterson played in Kansas City with Andy Reid and certainly knows how loud that crowd can be. So I'm sure they've worked in as much as possible for the silent count and getting to the line of scrimmage quickly and snapping the ball. I don't know if a lot of fans out there realize this, but it is absolutely beneficial for you to get to the line of scrimmage quickly and snap the ball as quickly as possible when you're in a crowd noise situation. The longer you let that play clock go down to double zeros, the more intense and raucous that crowd gets. So the teams that I advise, anytime you're in a hostile environment that has crowd noise issues, is get to the line as quickly as possible, get the play in, make your adjustments, and snap that ball as quickly as you possibly can to prevent the crowd noise from infecting you, causing false starts and bad snaps and all types of things like that.
So, you know, they played there, as you mentioned, and they were down 20-0. And I think the level, at least decibel level, will be double what it is in a regular season game. In a playoff game, a divisional playoff game, a title game in Arrowhead, we've already seen what that crowd is like. It is insanity, very hostile. We'll continue with the mad scientist on Coast to Coast.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, Pharrell back on Coast to Coast, and we hook up every Thursday with the one and only Warren Sharp at the National Harbor MGM. And we're continuing our conversation about the Jags and Chiefs for the time being. We'll get into all of the games this weekend in short order. Mecole Hardman will not play in this game. One less guy for Mahomes to throw to, Warren.
Well, I mean, theoretically, but if they incorporate Kadarius Toney a little bit more, they've had 2 weeks to get him ready for this game. I think that they should be able to see some success and not lose that much efficiency with the absence of Mecole Hardman. One of the biggest factors of this game to me, where I think a team needs to change a little bit or adapt a little bit or do something a little bit differently in order to maximize their success. Because you could just roll the ball out there, kick it off, and everybody could play like they normally play over the course of the entire season. And that's not really the way that teams approach these games. I think the one thing that the Chiefs could do offensively that would make the most impact for them in a beneficial way would be to utilize more play action. And the reason why is the Jacksonville Jaguars defense is the worst in the NFL against play action. Their efficiency allowed when teams use play action against them is the most in the NFL. And if you look at their defense, they're good against the run. They rank, I think, like 12th against the run, depending upon the metric, could be as high as 9th. But they are significantly worse against the pass, and they're terrible when you have play action. So pretend like you're going to run the football and actually drop back and throw with play action. Now, the Chiefs tend not to use play action very much, and that's because Patrick Mahomes doesn't need it. A lot of teams that have good quarterbacks end up not using a lot of play action because their quarterback doesn't need to have play action to have that efficiency upgrade, like a lot of teams around the NFL. NFL have to get with their quarterbacks because, let's face it, play action does work. And when you use it, it gains more success than when you don't. So the Chiefs don't use it a lot, but this Jaguars defense being so terrible against it, they're going to have some success when they use it. I think they need to really increase their rate. And here's the numbers on it. When the Chiefs used play action in their prior meeting, they gained 11.7 yards per attempt, 77% completions, 71% success, and plus 0.72 EPA per attempt on 14 dropbacks for Patrick Mahomes when he used play action in the first meeting. All of those metrics were a little bit worse when not using play action, but he was still good. He was still a very good passer without play action versus the Jaguars. But hopefully Andy Reid and the Chiefs realize how terrible this defense is against play action and use it at a higher rate than maybe Patrick Mahomes would need to, but it's going to absolutely exploit this defense more. And of course, I don't think that they should be running Pacheco at quite a high rate here because this secondary is so bad. So pretend like you're going to call 40% runs, stick the ball in the belly of the running back on maybe 10 of those, 10% of those, but actually end up using more play action there instead. And I think that that'll behoove the Chiefs offense substantially.
I mean, those numbers you just gave with the play action used and utilized in the first meeting are staggering. I mean, those are absolutely unbelievable numbers. I mean, it's crazy. When you saw the number, and it's pretty much stayed flat at 8.5 all week, what was your initial reaction to that in the 52.5? And obviously, there's certain props that you always tend to like running with in these games during the regular season. Is there stuff that stands out to you now heading into this game at Arrowhead on Saturday?
Well, initially, I looked at this total, and I thought that the total, as it was starting to get bet up, is a little bit too high. I mean, my model doesn't get close to this number, but I am struggling to want to take the under because I know what's going to happen with both of these teams. I mean, the Jacksonville Jaguars are one of the best teams in the NFL at coming back in games. They've covered the second half spread, I want to say, in 9 of their last 10 games. So if the Chiefs get out early in this game, I highly suggest this is one of the bets we should give to the people out there. Bet the second half spread for the Jacksonville Jaguars if the Chiefs are leading at halftime, especially if it's by over one score, because the Jaguars are great at coming back in these games, and the Chiefs definitely struggle with putting teams away. So that's the first thing on the total. From a side perspective, I can see the number. I can see the number. It deserves to be a substantial line because I do think that this game that that these two teams played earlier in the season was not as close as that final score indicated. There were a lot of things that went right down the stretch for the Jacksonville Jaguars that assisted their ability to make that game look closer, and it was still a fairly healthy win for the Kansas City Chiefs. The environment's going to be totally different. The rest advantage is totally different. And I think the second time around, Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, who are undefeated off of true bye weeks, are going to perform really well in this spot here. One prop that I do think holds some interest is Travis Etienne's receiving yards over. I think that the game state could force the Jacksonville Jaguars to be throwing the football a little bit more frequently here. And I think you can use your running backs against this Chiefs defense. They tend not to throw the ball as much to their backs, but I think the matchup and the game state in terms of total pass volume might actually bode really well for them to throw a little bit more frequently than normal to Travis Etienne. And I think he could break a couple of those off in the passing game.
So are you on that spread at all? Are you leaning Kansas City here, or are you no?
So most of these games, just getting it out of the way, are between professional groups, opposite sides of the fences. Every single person that I know has teased down the Kansas City Chiefs to underneath of a field goal because it's one of the most obvious teaser legs in the NFL. So the books obviously are going to be rooting strongly against that, much like we saw them rooting for Dallas to not allow the teasers to hit on Tampa Bay last week. They're going to be rooting for either the Kansas City Chiefs or the Philadelphia Eagles to lose their game outright because everybody is teasing those two games. But in terms of non-teaser, just straight ATS, all I'm seeing this week between the betting accounts that I have access to and the people that I talk to that get sharp information is battles across the board. This group likes the Jags. This other group likes the Kansas City Chiefs. This group likes the Eagles. This other group likes the Giants. And there's really very little consensus amongst some of the sharper betting groups out there that most of them like this certain side. So that is why we actually are not seeing these lines move a ton. A point, point and a half here or there, amongst especially the Bills game that we'll talk about momentarily, not really moving through key numbers. We're talking about from 4.5 to 5.5, a touch at 6, it gets bought back down. Like the 5 really is not a key number there. So that one has seen a little bit more movement. But most of these lines have not been seeing a ton of movement because the betting groups out there simply are split on who they're backing. And there really are good cases that you could actually build for these, for all 8 of the teams that are remaining in the playoffs. So in this particular game, I've actually done nothing from a side or total perspective. And the Mecole Hardman thing doesn't scare me away a little bit. I am leaning that the Chiefs are going to be able to win this one. I do think the Chiefs get started out early. I would be looking to back the Jaguars on a second half line. And in this one, as well as some of the other games that we'll discuss, I'm leaning a little bit more into the prop market and then waiting to see if there's some line movement late that I decide I want to fade and go the opposite direction of.
Yeah, all right. I like all that. I'm down with that. I think your thought process on the spread and the total and staying away from that and doing these other things, the Jags second half, the ATN and the T's possibly down, is a lot more fruitful for me. At the very least, respectfully, 45 seconds. Let's get started with this great game at the Link on Saturday night.
Boy, I've got two things to say really quickly, and then we'll catch the rest on the other side of the break. Right. Number one, this Giants offense is actually better than it's showed down the stretch, but this Giants defense is actually worse than it's showed down the stretch. And that's one of the reasons why their games are going over the total at such a high rate. I'll break both of those elements down on the other side of the break.
When we come back, Warren will give you everything you need to know about the Eagles hosting the G-Men, G-Men Big Blue at the Link in Philadelphia on Saturday night. It's Coast to Coast with Warren Sharp.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Know your prey. This is a whole new jungle. This is the Lion's Share. Brought to you by BetMGM.
All right, Pharrell back on Coast to Coast, the Warren Sharp football.
The lights, the bigger the
parlay boost. Score a bigger payout if your parlay wins. Go to BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. That's the Warren Sharp football parlay boost token. Get in on it at BetMGM.com. All right, Warren, let's get back into this Giants game in Philly at the Link against the Eagles.
Yeah, so when we're talking about this New York Giants side of the football here, we're talking about a team that has played the second toughest schedule of opposing defenses since week 12, yet ranks number 2 in early down efficiency, the ability to bypass third downs. They're the second best. And look at these defenses that they've gone up against since week 12. Number 2, Cowboys. Number 5, Eagles twice. Number 13, Commanders twice. Number 14, Colts. And then, of course, a couple games against a very bad Minnesota Vikings team. We're talking about a ton of difficult teams, second toughest schedule of opposing defenses, and yet they rank number 2 in efficiency. It's not surprising, A, that they're coached by Brian Daboll and Mike Kafka, very good offensive minds, but B, that a team like this would get better over the course of the season in year one of this coach trying to teach his team what he wants them to do. I mean, they had to get used to the personnel. The coach had to get used to the players had to get used to the coach, and in addition, they suffered a ton of injuries in the early part of the season. They just started getting guys back healthy. So I'm not shocked at all that it took them a little while, but what I am shocked is that they do rank number 2 despite such a brutal schedule on the other side of the ball. But while we stay with this side, I think it's going to be very important that they try to throw the football short, be themselves, Don't try to do something and go outside of the box. The Philadelphia Eagles defense is built to stop the deeper passes. They're built to sit back and keep everything in front of them and rally to the football. They rank number one in the NFL defending passes that are thrown over 15 yards down the field. But they are one of the worst defenses in the, well, they're below average, not one of the worst, but they're below average defending passes thrown within 10 yards of the line of scrimmage. And it's exactly where Daniel Jones operates. The problem is that the Philadelphia Eagles defense is very good against play action. They are not very susceptible to it because they don't bite on anything. They try to stop the run with their front, and they let their secondary sit back. As a result, Daniel Jones and the Giants need to reduce the amount of play action, just come out and get the ball into their receivers' hands, use Saquon Barkley in the receiving game as well. And I think that's how they're going to have the most success on the offensive side of the ball. But I absolutely think that when we're talking about the Giants and their ability to stay close in this game, it's going to have to come from the offense, because I'm very worried, Scott, about their defense here.
So, you know, the way Daniel Jones has been playing and the way he's been running the football and scoring touchdowns and getting first downs, I mean, they have to manipulate that as well. He's got to do his thing as much as Barkley does. I think when the guy busts out and starts running, he gets first downs, he moves the chains, and then they start worrying about that, and it leaves these receivers, Hodgkins and all of them, Slayton, wide open, and he's been striking gold under 15 yards, like you said. He's got to take off and do his thing running. It's been amazing watching him run the football, to be honest.
I completely agree. I mean, that's definitely going to be an element to this game. It's an element for any team with a mobile quarterback, especially in the playoffs when it's a win-or-go-home situation. You have to use everything to the best ability, and we know that quarterbacks that run and rushes from quarterbacks, especially on a called pass play where a run lane opens up, are the number one most efficient play in the entire NFL. There's nothing more efficient than a quarterback who takes off and runs when a run lane is open. Josh Allen did it a ton last year, some this year. Daniel Jones is doing it this year and a little bit more of late.
So when you first saw it at 7.5 and 48, what was your reaction? By the way, the lion's share brought to you by BetMGM. Warren's at the BetMGM Sportsbook and Lounge at the National Harbor. So what did you think when you first saw the numbers?
Well, the number wasn't 48 when I first saw it. I'm the one who made it go up to 48 because me and my group, we bet the over, and I shipped it out to my clients, and we bet the over at 47. And the reason were, there were a multitude of factors as to why we looked at that. One element is that it's actually surprising, but divisional meetings in the playoffs with a total of less than 49 have gone over at a 71% clip since 2002, 6-0 to the over the last 2 years. That's not why we bet the over, though, but it is something nice to have on your side in terms of a positive trend. But keep this in mind. Over the first half of the season, when the Giants were dealing with getting to know the offense a little bit better, they only went over the total. They went under the total in 7 of their first 9 games. But they are over the total in 7 of their last 8 games. If you take out Week 18 when they didn't try to win, that's the highest rate of any team in the NFL. They've gone over the total a ton, and it's in part because of their offense, which I just discussed. It's also in part because their defense is massively vulnerable. This defense is the worst in the NFL on early downs, whether you look at the full season or just the second half of the season. They are the worst. They are also terrible against the run, and I don't think that that was exposed enough last week against the Minnesota Vikings because of some of the game state situation there. But I absolutely think that Miles Sanders and this Philadelphia Eagles rushing attack behind a dominant offensive line that has basically everybody up there healthy, with the exception of Lane Johnson, who is going to be trying to play through his injury. And if he goes down, they do have a decent right tackle to back him up. Far better health situation for this offensive line than the Vikings last week. I think they're going to have a lot of success running the football against this Giants defense that ranks dead last in yards before contact allowed to opposing running backs on the season. And if you look at the Philadelphia Eagles, this is also a team that is trending towards overs. And over the course of the year, they are 9-5 to the over when Jalen Hurts plays. Take away the game that the Giants didn't try to do anything in at the end of the season, that number only improves. And then most of the games that have gone under for them have actually been games where they got out so quickly early on that they just took their foot off the gas in the second half. I highly doubt they're going to be doing that in a playoff game this week. I think it's going to be four quarters of the Philadelphia Eagles offense playing at high octane as best they can. And last but not least, I didn't even realize this until I started digging into it. The Philadelphia Eagles have gone over the total at home more than any other team in the NFL over the last 2 years. 12 of 17 home games have gone over the total. If you exclude the week 18 where the Giants rested players and week 17 when Jalen Hurts didn't play, 12 of 15 games, that's 80% of Eagles games at home have gone over the total. Some teams just play better in certain stadiums. For the Eagles, their offense looks a lot better at home, whether it's a Jalen Hurts thing, whether they call things more aggressively, whether they keep being more aggressive in the second half of games. Whatever you say, I think it's a little bit of everything. This team is much higher scoring at home, and I think the Giants are going to do their share to help let this game go over the total. From a spread perspective, I thought when this thing did get down to seven, that was a little bit short because of my concerns with this New York Giants defense. I totally respect the job that Wink Martindale has done, and maybe he does try to play a little bit more zone defense against the Eagles than man. If that ends up happening, look out for Dallas Goedert props to go over, but I absolutely think that the Eagles, as long as Hurts' shoulder isn't massively impacted, which that's a big question mark. I mean, I would not go hard on any of these games from a betting perspective. These lines are super tight. You've got sharp betting groups on opposite sides of pretty much everything, and you've got a lot of question marks out there. So this is not the time of the year to be placing your largest bets of the season on any one specific thing just because of a lot of the question marks that are out there. But I think as long as Hurts isn't severely limited with that shoulder, which I don't think he will be, I think this game does see some points.
So let me ask you again, just repeat the one. At the very beginning, you talked about 71% of the time. Can you repeat what that in the NFC? Was it in the NFC semis, 71% of the time?
No,
what was
just,
it again?
This was just a general divisional team meeting. When two teams that are in the same division, like these are both in the NFC East, meet in the playoffs, you might think that those third meetings of the year would tend to go under, but that's absolutely the opposite. Those meetings tend to go over, 17 overs, only 7 unders, with a total of 49 or less. That's 71% over since 2002, 6-0 to the over since 2000. These games, the offenses tend to understand what the defenses were trying to do to slow them down the prior two meetings and make adjustments and come out faster on the offensive side of the ball. And we know in modern football, in the passing era of football, offense is going to win over defense the vast majority of the time. And that's what we end up seeing here with all of these overs.
You're crazy. All right, let's move on to our next bit of damage here as we continue on. Let's go to Sunday. 3 o'clock, Orchard Park, Bengals and Bills, as good as it gets.
Well, it would be better if the Cincinnati Bengals offensive linemen stopped dropping like flies. I mean, let's be honest, unless you are a Buffalo Bills fan like my buddy Sam over here, you definitely want to see two of the best teams at their strengths going up against one another in the playoffs. And as a result, it does kind of stink that these guys are dropping off. They've now lost three starting offensive linemen over the last several weeks, and that's absolutely going to impact their ability to keep Joe Burrow upright. But guess what, Scott? On the other side of this break, I'm going to try to limit and put the kibosh on what everybody is saying out there about how this game is super easy to handicap, because why would you not just want to bet the Buffalo Bills and lay the points against a team that has no offensive line and playing all these backups? I got a couple of reasons why I think it may be a less of a factor than you're thinking of.
Wow, so Warren's going to tell you you better put the brakes on all those plans to just drop it with the Bills because the Bengals have injuries up front. We'll get into it. Bengals, Bills, Orchard Park, as we continue on with Warren Sharp from the MGM National.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, with the amazing Warren Sharp, he's at the MGM National Harbor. I'm Pharrell in New York City as we keep grinding on these divisional semis. All right, Warren, they've lost three trenches, offensive linemen. I thought, I got to be honest with you, I thought last week against Baltimore, I mean, they roughed him up. The one time when they collared him down to the ground, I'll never forget, they got him on the ground. He landed on his ass. He was kind of upright sitting. And then you had the drive-by elbow to the back of the head in that scrum, in that pile. I thought the Ravens, you know, Smith, Queen, were doing a great job of roughing him up. I'm a big believer in the 85 Bears philosophy. Kill the quarterback, win the game. Take the quarterback and ragdoll his ass all day on the ground, and he'll have happy feet. He'll be hearing steps. He'll throw the ball badly. Everything happens bad when you rough him up. That's what the Ravens did to him. What are the Bills going to be able to do against this guy? Because I watched the Bills game. They didn't do anything to Thompson.
No, they didn't. Here's the thing. I absolutely concur with your philosophy. If you limit that quarterback, if he's not at 100%, if he's scared to throw the ball because of the pressure that he's kind of envisioning or he's seeing ghosts out there, that's going to get in his head. It's going to cause some problems for them. Here's one of the keys, though, as to what I think the Cincinnati Bengals offense is going to lean into, given that they are down these three starters along the offensive line. Since week 13, no team is passing the ball more than the Cincinnati Bengals. And since week 13, no quarterback is throwing the ball quicker than the Cincinnati Bengals. Joe Burrow is releasing 72% of his passes within 2.5 seconds. That is the fastest rate in the NFL. That's 20% above the NFL average. Most quarterbacks are down at 52%. He's at 72% in terms of percentage of passes that are thrown within 2.5 seconds. That's going to be big because it's going to prevent the Buffalo Bills from getting that pressure on him. And we know that the Buffalo Bills have massive splits before Von Miller was hurt and after Von Miller was injured. Before Von Miller was injured, the Buffalo Bills had the fourth highest pressure rate and were able to blitz at the fourth lowest rate in the NFL. They generated a ton of pressure without even needing to blitz. But since Von Miller's injury, this team is generating pressure on just the 24th rate, and they're blitzing at the 13th highest rate. They're having to blitz a lot more, and they're still generating top bottom 10 levels of pressure on opposing quarterbacks. Now they're going up against a guy who gets rid of the ball super quickly. And here's right. The driving home factor for this, Scott, for me. The Buffalo Bills defense, when they play a quarterback and this quarterback throws the ball 3 seconds or longer, he's holding on to it before he throws it. The Buffalo Bills have the number two defense in the NFL in EPA per attempt. But when he gets rid of the ball in 2.5 seconds or less, that defense drops down to number 27. And they move from literally a top two defense to nearly a bottom five defense against the pass if the quarterback is throwing the ball quickly to his wide receivers. That's exactly what Joe Burrow has been doing for weeks now. So the Cincinnati Bengals have to come in here and try to throw the ball frequently and try to throw the ball quickly to the wide receivers and let Chase and all the other wide receivers catch it quickly and do work. Make it the quickest movement of the ball from point A to point B. The center's hands, when he's snapping it, to a receiver's right. hands on the perimeter against this Bills secondary, which has sustained a number of injuries and is without multiple starters.
That's just fascinating. Now, I think, you know, I'm huge on T. Higgins. I love him because of his size. They go up top to him twice in the Super Bowl, both times touchdowns. They didn't go to him on 3rd and 1, 4th and 1. I've said this a million times on this show. That was the kiss of death that Zach Taylor didn't go back to that guy when they needed it most. All you do is throw it up and a guy makes the catch. He's a badass. Chase is a badass. Boyd, they don't even guard Boyd because they got to worry about these other two. Do you think that Burrow's going to be able to light it up that fast, that quickly, 3 seconds with those three and do the damage that he does to everybody else?
I do think it's possible because of how bad this defense is lately of getting pressure and against these short wide receiver passes. They are one of the worst defenses in the NFL. So everybody's going to look at this game and say, well, the Buffalo Bills, they have like a top five defense and the you know, the Cincinnati Bengals offensive line is completely beat up. And look, I could be wrong, right? I have not bet the Cincinnati Bengals. I'm waiting to see what ends up happening with this number. It keeps creeping up. Sharp bettors are laying the Buffalo Bills. They're laying it at 5, then at 5.5. When it gets to 6 and touches 6, it's getting bought back down. But we'll see if it continues to approach 6 and does the 6 end up sticking at a more widely available number. But I have not bet it yet, but I am thinking, yeah, I could be wrong. Maybe these other guys are right. Maybe this is the super simplest, easiest handicap of the week. Do nothing. Don't try to break down the game at all. Just realize that the Cincinnati Bengals are down 3 starters along the offensive line, and you're going up against Josh Allen, of all people, who is ridiculous, and a top 5 defense in the Bills, and just say, I'm going to lay it with the Bills because they should be able to win this game. Maybe that's all that's required for the handicap. I'm trying to dig a little bit deeper to come up with reasons why I think the Cincinnati Bengals could see some success. Is it scary? Do I see the Bengals defense as having cracks as well? Yes, I do. Josh Allen could have a lot of success in this game. I don't know why they keep throwing the ball so far down the field. They need to lower their ADOT. They need to stop throwing the ball deep when they've got such a big lead and try to just move the chains in the second half with a lead rather than going for as many home run balls as they were doing against the Miami Dolphins last week, because it forced the Bills to punt the ball 4 times in the second half with a lead unnecessarily when there were some guys open underneath. And, you know, the Buffalo Bills, between their play calling from Ken Dorsey and the execution from Josh Allen, there is a lot to be desired with the absence of Brian Daboll. I just see two teams that are not nearly in. I don't have the same opinion of either of these teams that I did when they met just a couple of weeks ago. I think worse of both of these teams right now than I did then. There are more chinks in the armor for both of these teams on both sides of the ball than there were then. I think it's going to be a great game and a competitive game. One thing to pay attention to, the weather. This game could have a little bit of mixed precipitation falling. No wind, so you won't have to worry about wind. But it'd be one thing if you knew that it was going to be just drizzle. It'd be one thing if you knew it was going to be light snow flurries. Right now, we got temps around 35 to 33 degrees. Right. And you know, at different days, different times, the weather in Buffalo changes a ton. Like, this could be a little bit of rain, then it could turn to snow, it could turn to ice. Who the hell knows right now? So keep in mind as it gets closer to Sunday to watch that weather forecast.
What'd you think of, and I think you're right, all that stuff, digging deeper is smarter, that's who you are, and I think it's, you know, that's the kind of stuff I'm looking for, the insight that I think our audience and fans are looking for, than the easy way. I'll tell you what, whatever you think's going to happen in the NFL that's automatic and it's just a given and the Bills are going to go in there and beat them because they don't have offense, whatever you think's going to happen, that's the last thing that's going to happen in the NFL playoffs. I can tell you that much right now. Real quick, before we get to Dallas, San Francisco, the total in that game in Buffalo at 48 and a hook, where are you right now on that?
Yeah, that game has been bet down. It opened at like 49.5. It got bet to the over. And I think people started realizing, you know, you got these offensive line injuries. The Buffalo Bills offense is not clicking quite as well as it once did. The Bengals always make good second half adjustments with Lou Anarumo. And you got this potential weather that's going to be icy and sleety, and we don't know what's – I mean, that's going to make it harder for both of these teams' receiving corps to catch the football from their quarterback. So I think for good reason it has come down a little bit towards the under. I need to know more about the weather forecast before I'm willing to bet any type of over on a game. If it's going to be played where literally ice is falling out of the sky onto these players, like, I don't want to be backing an over with these guys trying to catch a football in those types of conditions. So I'd rather, if I'm backing the over, I'd rather get a little bit of snow flurries with no wind. That's not going to do anything to this total. That would be a spot to turn back around and look to back the over here. But as it currently sits right now, I have no interest in any direction on this total.
All right, let's go to the final game, the final piece to the puzzle at Stonewash Denim Jeans in Santa Clara at Levi's, Niners and the Cowboys. How awesome to wrap it all up on Sunday night.
I mean, if you've been watching the NFL for as long as guys like you and I have, Scott, a matchup between the Cowboys and the Niners deeper into the playoffs just brings back so many memories. And it's just such a feel-good type of a game from that perspective. I wish we had some of those nice, lengthy in-game preview, game preview intros that they led up to the games, kind of like NBA on NBC used to do way, way back in the day, where they told stories and played clips and made it really hyped up. I wish they did that as an intro to this game, but this game's going to be fascinating because there's so much we don't know about these teams. I think it really talks to how important it is to have an easy schedule during the season. Because when you have an easy schedule, you're more likely to make the playoffs like both of these teams did. But it leaves those questions as to, well, who have these teams played? I mean, like, who have the Cowboys? What good defense has Dak Prescott really played? What good defense has Brock Purdy really played? The answer is not anybody, and that's because they've played easy schedules and it's helped them get to the point that they have. So now we have to project and try to figure out what it's going to look like when they do face a difficult defense, and that's what makes the job of handicapping these games and literally prognostication, predicting the future, what we're trying to do, very complicated. What I can say is this, though. I think the Dallas Cowboys are going to have to change something on both sides of the ball. Let's start with the offensive side of the ball. We know that the Niners are the number one run defense in the league. We know that the Niners, on passes thrown within 15 yards of the line of scrimmage, have the number one pass defense in the NFL. But we know that they rank number 31 on passes thrown deeper down the field. They also struggle to defend the slot and especially the left perimeter of the offense. Any receiver lined up to the left side of that offense has had a ton of success against this San Francisco 49ers secondary. So the Dallas Cowboys have to come out, try to target the left, which Dak Prescott does at a very high rate, but also throw the ball deeper down the field. And Dak Prescott leads the NFL since returning from his injury on percentage of passes that are thrown within 5 yards of the line of scrimmage. Those are not going to have nearly the level of success against this 49ers defense as they might against some other teams. So Dallas is going to have to push this ball a little bit deeper down the field. On the other side of the ball, look, Dallas is going to have to figure out, do we want to try to blitz Brock Purdy a little bit more? Some of these numbers I'm going to share with you, Scott, you're going to say, wow, this seems hard to believe. But I assure you, they are correct. The issue, though, becomes how have they been earned? They've been earned against some teams that are pretty weak in this department, but we'll share the numbers anyways. Brock Purdy, when he is not blitzed, whether the pressure gets home or not, he is a top three quarterback. If he is blitzed but the pressure does not get home, he drops down to ranking around 10th. If he is blitzed and the pressure does get home, he's below average. So Dallas, even if they're blitzing, if Dallas does not blitz but still gets pressure, that's fine for Brock Purdy. It's the blitz itself that is what is tripping him up. It is throwing him off. And Dallas has a below average blitz rate. They have the number one pressure rate in the NFL. They're the best team at getting pressure, but they don't blitz a lot. Will they step up the blitz game, understanding that Purdy has trouble diagnosing the blitz, and that alone causes him to drop off in his metrics? I think it's going to be fascinating to see what they come out and do defensively.
They got the top pass rush, but they don't blitz, but this guy can't handle the blitz, so you've got to blitz. We'll come back and wrap it up with Warren Sharp and see what he thinks of the final pick here for this game.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, back on Coast to Coast, Warren Sharps at the National Harbor MGM. So the number was 4, San Francisco minus 4 and 46. What do you think of those?
This is a massive battle, Scott. This is more of a battle than any other game where you've got guys that are taking the 4, dropping it down to 3.5. A couple threes might pop up. Boom, it gets smacked back to 3.5 and upwards of 4. Well, you got guys coming in on both sides here. I have not bet anything on the side here. The total, my math leans to the over. The issue becomes because neither of these quarterbacks has played any defense worth any salt of late, it's hard to really project how they're going to do against a defense that they're about to go up against. I mean, these are two of the best defenses in the NFL. I don't think Dak Prescott is as good as he looked against the Buccaneers last week. I don't think that Brock Purdy is going to play quite as well as he has against some of these bad defenses, especially with the pressure that Dallas is likely to throw his way. The biggest thing that would jump out to me is that Brock Purdy, compare him to Jimmy G in this key metric. Purdy is throwing 10-plus yards down the field at the sixth highest rate in the NFL. His percentage of passes traveling 10-plus yards is sixth highest rate of any quarterback. For Jimmy G, that was down at 30th. So Jimmy G was throwing it short underneath. Brock Purdy is throwing the football a little bit deeper. That throws a little bit of a wrench in the plans. Weather should be great, though, for this game. It's going to be a really exciting one.
Well, I'll tell you what. So you're not leaning either way yet at all. And I, with as great as they are defensively, I'm surprised you're saying that you're leaning over.
Yeah, I haven't bet the over. I'm waiting to see. I think more under money is going to enter the market. I'm not leaning any way, shape, or form from a side perspective either. But I can tell you what, on Sunday morning when we do the live show, I'll probably have some better intel on this one. If you're looking to get action on a prop, it hasn't opened up yet. But Joe Burrow's completions, I think that's a good look to the over, as it is Dallas Goedert's receiving yards to the over.
My man, great stuff today, Warren. Enjoy the game Saturday and Sunday. We'll see you next week as we get ready for the title games. Warren Sharp at the MGM National Harbor.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Our yoga instructor challenged us to find inner peace. I found it faster than anyone. After 4 seconds, I stood up and screamed,
I found Nirvana! I win!
They asked me to leave. I guess they don't respect winning. Bet365 does, though. New customers get $365 in bonus bets just for betting $10. Namaste, losers. Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In-app only.